Good morning. In chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, we get a call story. Isaiah sees the Lord on the throne and is awed by the majesty and power of this vision. In this dramatic scene that has sight and sound and smell and a burning coal and a question, whom shall I send? Here I am, is the response. Send me. Isaiah's task is to tell the people that they just don't get it. In the words of one professor of homiletics and biblical interpretation, reading Isaiah's call story is not likely to raise the number of admissions applications to seminaries. And yet, Isaiah's call echoes through the ages as a call to act and a response. Here I am, send me. What if we ask that question about this moment? What are we being called to in the now? Part of the answer is where we have been, not just in the recent past, although there is a lot to ponder about the recent past. While the book of Isaiah spans a great period of time, we get a sense of time and place and urgency, especially in this call story. In a time when much is going awry, God sends a messenger to a wayward people in a specific time and place and circumstance. I have chosen bell hooks as the modern prophet to consider today for the message she brought. She is likely best known, especially among educators, as the author of the book Teaching to Transgress. Born Gloria Jean Watkins, she adopted the pen name Bell Hooks, which was her maternal great-grandmother's name, as a way to honor her, but also writing the name in lowercase letters as a way of detaching herself from the work. She wanted her work to be centered. She was the author of 30 books and many, many, many articles. Bell Hooks died this past December, and among the many tributes to her life and work was this from Parker Palmer. He writes, "When Bell Hooks died this week at the age of 69, the world lost a courageous public voice of love, truth, and justice. I lost a friend whom I knew largely through her books, but with whom I was privileged to spend a bit of private and public time." He goes on to say, "I am Bell's imperfect student, but her life and work helped orient me to mine." And then he says, "Several of her books served me as a North Star, providing guidance and encouragement to stay the course. These include books like Teaching Community, A Pedagogy of Hope, and All About Love, New Visions." End quote. Hooks described herself as a Buddhist Christian and wrote beautifully about her own spiritual journey. While she is likely best known as an intellectual, what I appreciated most about her work was how her deep attentiveness and practice of spirituality fueled her work. We heard a bit from the essay she wrote titled A Life in the Spirit, Faith, Writing, and Intellectual Work, in which she described her upbringing in the Black Baptist Church. She wrote about this, saying, "Black religious experience as I knew and lived it growing up was a liberation theology. For generations, Black churchgoers had used the gospel to revision our understandings of Black experience, to make radical sense of our history, and to build communities of resistance that enabled us to protest and struggle for freedom." She goes on to say that because of that foundation, she knew her destiny was inextricably linked to that of the poor, saying, "In the church of my youth, I learned that our spiritual work was to meet the needs of the poor and downtrodden." And she traces, as a young Black girl in rural Kentucky, becoming, as she says, politicized, that it was not enough to identify with the poor. One had to act to transform society and human lives. Our mission was to make a beloved community in the world where everyone would be free to live well. As a young adult, she began to critique Christianity, because of witnessing, as she said, folks who did not believe what they taught or did not live their beliefs. Her spirituality became broader and deeper as she studied different paths, and as I noted earlier, she came to identify as a Buddhist Christian. Love, connectedness, and justice are the themes I see in her work. She owned the identity of an intellectual, speaking and writing and teaching, all towards the purpose of what she early identified in that Baptist church in Kentucky, that truth-telling, love, compassion, and justice will reshape the world. The place bell hooks taught last was Berea College in Berea, Kentucky. In many ways, she had come full circle after having taught at Stanford, Yale, Oberlin, and the City College of New York. Berea College seemed to be a place that epitomizes the values Hooks embodied, wrote, and talked about. Here is how the college describes itself. Berea College, the first interracial and co-educational college in the South, focuses on learning, labor, and service. The college only admits academically promising students with limited financial resources, primarily from Kentucky and Appalachia, but welcomes students from all over. Every Berea student receives a tuition promise scholarship, which means no Berea student pays for tuition. The college's motto, "God has made of one blood all peoples of the earth," speaks to its inclusive Christian character. It seems to be the kind of place that probably gets a lot of people maybe a little angry about what is being taught there. In the now, as we listen to accusations across the country and in our own town of indoctrination of students and an insistence on scrutinizing what may be taught and how and what may not be taught, I have been heartened by going back to the writings of truth tellers like Hooks, who talked about education as the practice of freedom. Here is what she wrote in the book, Teaching to Transgress, published in 1994, 27 years ago. When I first entered the multicultural, multi-ethnic classroom setting, I was unprepared. I did not know how to cope effectively with so much difference. Despite progressive politics and my deep engagement with the feminist movement, I had never been compelled to work within a truly diverse setting, and I lacked the necessary skills. This is the case with most educators. It is difficult for many educators in the United States to conceptualize how the classroom will look when they are confronted with the demographics which indicate that whiteness may cease to be the norm ethnicity in the classroom settings on all levels. Hence, educators are poorly prepared when we actually confront diversity. This is why so many of us stubbornly cling to old patterns. She goes on to say, as I worked to create teaching strategies that would make us space for multicultural learning, I found it necessary to recognize what I have called in other writing on pedagogy, different cultural codes. To teach effectively a diverse student body, I have to learn these codes, and so do students. This act alone transforms the classroom. The sharing of ideas and information does not always progress as quickly as it may in more homogeneous settings. Often professors and students have to learn to accept different ways of knowing, new epistemologies in the multicultural setting. While Hooks here is specifically thinking about the classroom in that passage, thinking about sharing space across difference, learning new ways of knowing and being, this is the work of being human together and working toward freedom and justice, the world that God envisions for all of creation. This is what I believe we are called to. This is the call I hear as I listen to the prophets of old, as I think about where I come from, and as I look at the world today. Parker Palmer finished his tribute to bell hooks by saying this, Belle's vocation required her to be fierce as well as gentle. I've never known anyone who held that paradox together better than she did. But for all of her ferocity, she always resolved everything in the alchemy of love. With a deep bow of gratitude for Bell Hook's spirit and work, he says, let her own words serve as her epitaph here. And these are the words that he quotes. I believe wholeheartedly that the only way out of domination is love, and the only way into really being able to connect with others and to know how to be is to be participating in every aspect of your life as a sacrament of love. Amen and amen. May it be so.